Talkback with Gary Nall, Sundays at 8 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Oh, a happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus
live from New York City, it's the Gary Nall Show. And now, your host, Gary Nall.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. We're here to talk about the issues that can make a difference in our lives. Today, no guest except for Dr. Martin Feldman. Later in the program, he's going to share the best way of getting a good night's sleep. I'm going to be sharing the latest on healing. Also, carnitine, a very important nutrient in our thyroid gland. And this is from Dr. Julian Gope from Life Extension. The latest on the environment. And one of the side effects of the global warming, the spread of some very serious bacteria in the water. What does that mean? Where does the bacteria come from? What happens if you're in the ocean and you should get this bacteria in a cut or your mouth? I'll give you the latest on that. I will be taking your calls throughout the entire program. Normally, my program is broken up into segments, first on health and healing, then on environmental issues, then on a socially relevant issue that is not being addressed in any meaningful way by the mainstream or alternative media, my guest, your calls, and then questions that you've emailed us. So there's a lot of segments, lots of information. This one program is set aside strictly to deal with what's important to you. So please feel free. Throughout the entire program, I'll be taking breaks and sharing information and taking your calls. Our number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Let's begin. I remember at the very beginning of my broadcast career, there was a debate going on about the legitimacy and safety of mammograms. And at that time, because of Governor Nelson Rockefeller's wife, Happy Rockefeller, having breast cancer, the idea was a national program, get women screened. Now, today in Central Park, there was a walk and a race for breast cancer awareness. There were tens of thousands of people in it. I don't know how many. But I was running around the park with our running group, and there was just wall-to-wall people the whole way around half the park and then clear down Central Park West. It was humongous. And John Q, who was running with me, made a comment. Wonder who sponsors this race? And I said to John at the time, I said, John, this has nothing in the world to do with breast cancer. It has nothing to do with about preventing breast cancer or ways of saving women's lives. Nor do all those different charity events for AIDS awareness have anything to do with preventing AIDS or helping people who have been diagnosed with an AIDS-defining illness. This has only to do with continuing a ritual. And in the minds of the average citizen, not just here in the United States, but around the world, once you've been indoctrinated by your official medical authorities, through the official media sources, that something is important, it becomes important. And we never look at the results of anything we do in life. That's just unheard of. Medicine doesn't look at the results. If they did, we would change everything in medicine except emergency medicine, which is exemplary and works. But all the rest of medicine fails and kills people. Number one cause of death and injuries, American medicine. So we don't change that. Our banking system is a complete and total fraud. Everything about it's a fraud. The bankers are not there to ensure the safety of your deposits or to help you get a loan and then guide you through the process to protect your investment, like your home. No, you screw up, they take away your home, but if they screw up, they're bailed out. By whom? By you, through the Federal Reserve and our Treasury. Kind of odd, kind of stupid, doesn't make any sense, but then again, you have to go along with this scenario if you're a Democrat, if you're a card-carrying Democrat. And if you're told that your job's going to be exported to China or India, but the person that you must vote for is the Democrat who created all the offshoring of jobs and created the GATT and NAFTA treaties that allow those jobs to be exported, you must vote for them. And you must argue with anyone else why it's a legitimate vote. In other words, you have to become a person that's a true believer in the ideologies, even if the ideology is working against your best interest. In the same way, for example, the bankers, if we have to bail them out, and weren't we told, bail out the banks because they're too big to fail and we must bail them out. Well, the trouble is that in the process of bailing out the banks so they could loan the money to us so we could keep our homes and small businesses could grow, no homes were saved, no small businesses were given loan. Instead, the money went to giving large bonuses, so that the companies given the money could buy out their competition and buy out weaker banks, and then trade in derivatives. Like in Greece, they hold $400 billion in a bet that Greece will either default or not default. And if they lose, they have to pay $400. If they win, they make $400 billion. What's that have to do with us? Nothing except we're guaranteeing all this. How do we benefit? We don't. Well, why in the world would anyone be stupid enough to allow the very powerful people to use our money in unlimited amounts with zero interest so they can make money? Well, because we're true believers. We're good Americans. We don't question. And if we do, we keep our debates civil. We will not protest. We're always more interested in the image we project to ourselves and to our groups and to the world than the reality of what we're capable of achieving, like change. We all hear change we can believe in, but there is no change. When President Obama said he was going to go to Washington and not allow those same old lobbyists and people who've controlled Washington into his administration, and he went to Washington and the only people he allowed in were the same old lobbyists and power brokers from Panetta, who became the head of the CIA, to Rahm Emanuel and Larry Summers and Timothy Geithner, all the same cast of characters. And when we said we want jobs in America, you bet. Absolutely. Democrats wanted jobs, Republicans wanted jobs, and yet we exported 1,600,000 jobs, which were hired by foreign countries from America in other countries, but not in the United States, because we kept outsourcing. So there's just a complete disconnect in reality. We want our Americans to be healthy, and that's why we make sure that as many children as possible are given diabetes. How is it not possible? With the foods they eat and are encouraged to take by television. The moment you criticize anyone within the institutions, you're excluded. Now you're the other. You're the outside. You're the far left or the far right. You're the Alex Joneses. What about if that's the truth? You never talk the truth in the United States. You do not hear the truth spoken. And the moment someone tries to tell you the truth, like Ron Paul, about getting out of, in part, but on the subject of the Federal Reserve, he is right. The worst enemy of the American public is the Federal Reserve. And getting in these wars and having all this money spent when it should be spent on rebuilding infrastructure and protecting American jobs and having jobs. No, then he has to be excluded. Even if he does well, he's invisible. We never criticize the people who are part of the power structure because we are excluded. The only way you ever get into any institution in America or become a part of the success of the institution in America is you go along. Get along, you go along. What does that mean then? It means that every institution in the United States, from the churches to the educational institutions who have janitors in New Jersey making more than any school teacher, and six layers of bureaucracy and redundancy, duplicity, and stupidity with a corrupt union, that's all right. The teachers are not going to throw out their union heads, and they're going to do exactly as they're told, because that's what we do, don't we? Don't we get along to go along, because surely the problem is someone else's fault and not ours. So since we have a nation where no one acknowledges their fault, when we become a police state, when we're an autocrat state, when the rich and powerful become more rich and powerful, when our rights are taken away, when our health is undermined, when everything you see on television can kill you or injure you, that's a side effect, but we don't pay attention to that. We'd rather have the purple pill instead of giving up eating the wrong foods that cause indigestion. Why not take that pill so we no longer have the fire in the stomach? You also don't have hydrochloric acid in the stomach. All right, so what you're saying is our educational systems have failed? You bet. So don't expect anything in the way of ethics, morality, focus. Do you know anything about the world you live in? Oh, I don't need to know about the world I live in. I've never had to know anything. I was carried from the time I was a child by my mother, who never wanted my feet to hit the ground. I am the golden one. Are you? Yes, I am. Really? Do you care about anything but yourself? Why should I? I care about how I feel, and you should be caring how I feel also. Why? Because I am gifted, I am blessed, I am beautiful, I am precious. Do you know anything about the world around you? No. Do you know anything about anything? I know how to Twitter. I see. And so you're going to lead us into the future. Whoa. Do you care about the senior citizens eating cat food? No. Do you care about the 12 million hungry children? No. Do you care about the 48.9 million Americans on food stamps? Not at all. Do you care about the 43 million Americans who are couch surfing because they've lost their homes? No. And I didn't know that figure. Figures confuse me. I don't have a context or an intellect in which to use those figures. So why are you even bringing it up? Okay. Well, do you know anything about the world we live in? No. History? If it happened in the last year, I do. I see. Civics, morality, ethics, philosophy? Not important in my house. Well, that ought to hurt some feelings, but that's the reality. Selfish? You bet. So in this context, this mess that we are now facing, does anybody take responsibility for anything? For your obesity? For your child's diabetes? For your arthritis? For your stroke? For your bankruptcy? For the environment being so polluted? Well, we're not sure about that pollution of the environment, Gary, because our leaders tell us there's no global warming, and if there was, it wouldn't be our fault. And you're going to go to hell, and we're going to be raptured to heaven. That's how it stands? Yes, that's how it stands. Okay. At least we know where we're beginning this game of life at this point. A system and a society that is so dysfunctional, so out of control, so enraptured in trivia and idle, distractible attention. We will not change anything. We cannot. Our political system is beyond corrupt and cannot change. So where does that leave us? Could we suggest that we got a little bit of problems on the environment, on personal health, on finance? Yes, but the moment those start to come into our minds, we switch the channel and we watch Oprah. We can never get enough of her. We're Dr. Oz. Isn't he four vaccines? Yes, he is. I see. Isn't he a holistic doctor? Everybody likes to use the word holistic, and you could probably count them on one hand that actually are. Does this mean we should feel bad? No. We wouldn't want you to feel bad. After all, aren't you precious and blessed and gifted and loved? I'm Gary Knoll. With your calls back in a moment, please stay with us. Welcome all of you, I'm Gary Knoll. Our number, 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. You wonder why people are tuning over to Progressive Radio instead of the left and right radio? For the reasons I've been telling you. There are no truths any longer in the Democrats Republicans. They are lost. They are swimming in a septic pool of deceit, narcissism, and game playing. I'm Gary Knoll. Jay, you're on the air. How are you?
I'm 47 years old. I was thinking about either taking a loan or just cashing out my 401k plan and investing in either the hard metals of gold and silver or investing like in a stock or a portfolio of gold and silver. I was wondering what you think about that and where do you think like gold and silver are still going to be able to go?
All right, I'll give you my opinion, but remember, please, Jane, my opinion is worth no more than anyone else's opinion.
Okay.
I believe that the economy is going to take several hits, but not the economy you see on television. Not the Wall Street completely fraudulent economy. Everything about the talking head idiots on television is a complete and total fraud. There is no legitimacy in anything they say. These are people that do not have to work in the real world. They are not unemployed. They don't have to worry about feeding their family. They don't have about losing their car. They don't have to worry about not having their lights working because they can't pay the electric bill. Do you understand that these are dilettantes? These are people become part of a self-selected circle that you, once you're in that circle, you can play the game of arguing with each other, but you must stay away from any hard question. Do you understand where we're starting? Yet those are the people consider experts. Did any of these people predict the different failings and the bubbles? Did they predict the housing bubble, the commercial real estate bubble, the equity partnership bubble, the hedge fund bubble, the credit card bubble, or the student loan bubbles? Did any of them predict any of those six bubbles?
No.
Okay. Did any of them tell you the dangers inherent in Keynesian logic or trickle-down economics?
I didn't hear anyone talk about that.
Okay, could they actually give you examples, historical examples from Reagan on, where when you give the money in America to the most powerful institutions and individuals, that money is then equitably brought down in the form of better wages and better working conditions to those who are working in the company and under the direction of those who have been given that money?
No, it seems that they would just say money will make money and we're doing great and send their jobs overseas, we're going to be fine.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, though. Money does make money when you don't have to share it with the American worker. Did they somehow leave that part off?
Oh, you didn't hear much about that.
Okay. And it is true. If you want to make a lot of money, deal in derivatives, commodities essential to life. Like trade in currencies where the average person in that currency, whether it's the peso or the rupee, will have no control over the fact that someone is going to be manipulating the currency. Trade in food. If you're a hedge fund, You're very smart if you go into Africa and buy up large tracts of fertile land. Throw the natives off. You don't have to worry about being called a racist. You don't have to worry about a new form of colonialism, because we all know that the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, the Bilderbergers, account for foreign relations. They can do anything they want, and they'll never be held accountable, as they haven't been held accountable. But maybe tonight and today, I'm just being a little more contrarian than normal. Surely that someone has held them morally accountable, if not legally accountable, for globalization and the consequences of structural adjustment upon the lives of hundreds of millions, if not billions, of people. Surely you have examples of that, don't you, Jay?
I don't know what they've said about that. I've only heard common sense come from you and your guest on your show.
Okay, because there's never been a comment by anyone. Nobody ever criticized the Council on Foreign Relations, because these people are their ultimate dilettantes. But let's never talk about these organizations, these power structures. Let's not talk about the World Bank. Do you know anyone in the United States who knows a single member of the World Trade Organization, the most powerful organization in the world, more powerful than the United States government or any other government, whose rules and laws supersede those sovereign laws of the United States?
I don't know any of them. I don't know.
What do you want to bet that no member of the American media could tell you the current president or the past president of the World Bank, or excuse me, the World Trade Organization?
I agree.
The most secret organization in the world that has more control over everything, and yet no one knows a thing about him. That's a neat way to do business, isn't it?
Sure.
So if you really wanted to do, if you really wanted to be smart, you would put about $500 trillion in derivative positions, which are not actual exchanges of money, and knowing that you can then manipulate prices and currencies. So if someone gets your bet on the other side, you can short your bet and come out a victor. Now, let me give you an example. Do you remember AIG? You've heard the big insurance company, the largest insurance company in the world at one time?
Sure.
Okay. And didn't we have to bail them out, or they'd have gone broke?
Well, that's what they said, sure.
Yeah, about $162 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember at the time of this, Timothy Geithner was not the Treasury Secretary, it was Paulson, a former Goldman Sachs, but Geithner was the head of the New York Federal Reserve Bank, and didn't he get permission for AIG to give 100% of a debt repayment to Goldman Sachs, $12 billion, yet Goldman Sachs merely had a derivative position, meaning a gamble. There was never any money exchanged between Goldman Sachs and AIG. So the American public had to take a gambling bet and repay it 100 cents on the dollar. Do you remember that?
Yeah, they were too big to fail, they were saying.
Yeah, well, also they got repaid now. How much are there out there right now in derivative positions and credit default positions?
I don't know.
$500 trillion. That's with
wow.
A T, trillion. And since we've already shown that we're going to bail out anyone who's connected with the people in the inside circle, the best and brightest, now, how many times will we be bailing out their mistakes at 100 cents on the dollar when there was nothing exchanged, just a bet? Now, wouldn't it make sense just to say that all derivatives are null and void, and that all credit default swaps are illegal, and you're not allowed to trade in any commodity essential life? You cannot trade in oil, water, gas, and food?
That sounds like common sense.
Common sense, right?
Yep.
I mean, you don't have to be a genius to figure this out. Well, let me take you through this and see if this makes sense to you. Let's say that you are a bank. Citibank. Now, Citibank gives out credit cards, right?
Yes.
And student loans, right? They finance these.
Yes.
And debit cards.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you get a credit card. Do you know what the interest rate monthly for the average credit card is?
Anywhere from like 14-18%, I would assume.
But it can go up to 29%. But let's say you're late on a payment. Then what does it go to?
I don't know.
It can go way up. On a debit card, it can go to 2,000%. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, there was a guy in California, a student, that bought a pizza on a credit card for $14, but he didn't have the money in there, and then he was late making the payment. He paid $243 for the pizza.
Wow.
Okay, that's what they do. $1 billion in California alone that the state and the bank shared in late and penalties on debit cards. Now, let's say that Citibank makes a lot of bad investments, and they get caught. Does anybody get fired?
Haven't heard of that.
No. Does anybody go to jail when they start doing liar's loans, or they falsify applications, or they don't do it according to the actual law? They do it by having someone else who is not competent to sign off on these things where no inspection was done. So they lose a lot of money. Where do they go to get made whole?
Probably the Fed.
Federal Reserve. And how much does the Federal Reserve charge them in interest in order to get them whole?
I don't know.
0.25% or 0%. And what did they give as collateral?
I don't know if they have any collateral. I don't even know.
Oh, yeah, they have collateral. Bad debt.
Oh, okay.
They're called toxic assets. You ever hear of toxic assets?
I have, yes.
So the Federal Reserve takes all the bad debts it's ever made on every crappy deal it's ever made, and it takes it in, and with the alchemy of the Federal Reserve and the little scumbags who work there, they're able to transform that bad debt and toxic asset into, they clean the money, legal money laundering. And now they get interest-free money. How much does Citigroup get? First, it was a guarantee of $324 billion. Now you know how much they've actually been given in secret? Over $2 trillion. That's with a T, trillion. All right? Now, what can they do with that money?
I don't know. Anything
they want. They can give bonuses. They can buy up competition. But you know what they don't do? They don't lower the mortgage rate on the people who hold the mortgages because it's more profitable for them to get the get the homes back. They could lower the rent and charge them rent, and they could forgive the late fees. Now, you know how much we have right now in credit and student loans? $1 trillion. That's a bubble. Do you know what it's like as a student to start life and you've got, with a four-year degree, you have about $30,000. With a master's, you have about $75,000. With a PhD, anywhere from $125,000 to $185,000 in debt. And that's where you start your career.
And that's it's not fair.
And there's no jobs. Is that American?
It sounds like true capitalism.
Oh, it is. It's crisis capitalism. Not ethical capitalism, not conscious capitalism. So now, let's figure this out. So let's say you're a student, and you've got all this debt, but then you're a person who's now, you used to make $20 an hour, which was not great, but it was a living wage, and now you're making $7 an hour, because Congress refuses to give a living wage. They're even refusing to raise the minimal wage above $7 and whatever it is, $7.15. So now you have to work two jobs. You don't have time for quality of life. You don't have any money left over. You're kiting credit cards, meaning you're paying one bill with another credit card. That's called kiting. And now, guess where you keep your money?
In the same banks.
Same bank. Is that smart?
You're right.
Have you ever heard of the Stockholm syndrome?
I have not.
Stockholm syndrome refers to when you begin to be understanding of your torturers and your captors, those who are keeping you prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you lose your job in a factory in Ohio where you had worked for 16 years. Your job is now in China. And you were making bicycles. So what do? Where do you buy your bike? You go to Walmart and buy it from a company that you used to work for, but now is making it in China.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It doesn't seem like anyone's protecting the real too big to fail, the middle class.
That's correct. So the very people who are undermining America, major corporations, and the little degenerates they have called politicians, and all the banks, and the major food chains, and all the major corporations, and all the media, these are the people who are causing the problem. And instead of acknowledging that these are the problem, at least turning off the television, don't watching those programs or those radio programs, and stop with the cult of personalities, Rush Limbaugh and these other people who don't give a damn about anybody but themselves, and you've never seen them out there risking anything to get arrested. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Rush went to the White House, got himself chained there to show he was against something. Has he done that?
Not that I'm aware of.
I'm not aware of that, nor any of the others. But boy, they love to talk about themselves, and they love to be experts on all the problems in America are the opposite of their political ideology. So then we have this volleyball game, this schizoid game of two scorpions in a cocktail glass, left on one side, right on the other, and they fight each other. But the unfortunate part is they are both immune to each other's venom. But they love biting each other, but they can't kill each other. So they just take turns seeing who's going to be in power this time, what promise they're going to make. And didn't I hear Keith Olbermann? Now, there's an example of what you should be when you grow up. I don't think so. But didn't Keith have on Nancy Pelosi, but not to criticize her, and the other Democrats, Barney Frank, but not to criticize them for all the things they've done, the money they've taken, the lobbyists they have, their personal wealth, how they bought their elections, but rather to praise what Obama will be as long as Michelle Bachmann. So anyone is, any Republican is worse than Obama. Well, what about Obama? Do they actually go through and say we should have an actual progressive person who is above being compromised, who will stand firm like a Ralph Nader? Never. Same people, same game, different side of the equation. So then we get this volleyball game, back and forth and back and forth. We get it on radio, back and forth. Who supports vaccines? Well, Democracy Now! Supports vaccines. And get your AIDS test? They do. Well, who then is criticizing the fact we do not have a nation of pathologically disturbed children? The left and the right support mental health care screening and then drugging. Do you ever hear them going after the drugging of our children?
Oh, no.
The left and the right, right?
Right.
So at some point, people finally wake up. Now, the average person doesn't wake up easy. I mean, you have to have almost about 1,000 people come up and just smack them. I mean, crack. And one of those will wake them up and they go, What's going on? And someone says, you've been asleep, friend. You've been asleep.
People are waking up, listening to yourself and Richard Martin and Michael Rupert, and that's one of the reasons that I asked you the question, because people are waking up. I'm waking up, and I'm just so concerned about what's happening and what's going to happen with the economy. I mean, I remember hearing you saying, buy gold when it was
$212 an ounce.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I told you to buy silver at $6.
Right.
What is gold at now?
It's about $1,800.
It goes anywhere from $1,800 up to almost $1,900. Now, I have to look at what is most responsible based upon the real economy. But when I talk about real economy, I'm not talking about the artificial, completely fraudulent, totally, totally irrelevant numbers you see each day on the Dow Jones. Those are complete myths. They have nothing in the world to do with the actual economy. And remember, we don't have one economy in America. We have the Wall Street economy that does not build new factories, that does not care about the quality of a workman's pay when they go home and have enough money to pay their expenses and have money to bring back into the economy. That means these companies were smart enough to downsize workers, to offshore their production so they can exploit cheap slave labor in another country where there are no environmental laws, no health laws. Women can work 18 hours a day like in Bangladesh making the dresses, and they can have their supervisors come by with switches and beat them, and they have no redress at all. That's what American manufacturers love. So those are the figures you see each day on Wall Street. We never ask, how did you make your profit? All we care about is you did. And also, you know these people who are showing big profits? Do you know how much of that was secret money, $16.1 trillion given by the Federal Reserve? And yet you never ask them, oh, by the way, how much are you at risk with derivatives and credit default swap positions? Because someone would have to say, we have about $3 trillion in exposure. What happens if you lose? Well, we wouldn't declare bankruptcy. We will say that, it's the market fault, and we'll go to the Federal Reserve window and we'll get more money because they have no problem giving us money because we're part of the enlightened insider group. I see. And
well, don't you think there's going to be a correction with that also? I mean, eventually?
No. No.
Wow.
No. On the one hand, there will be no revolution in America. The revolution will not come to America. The Spring Awakening, 100 million young Arabs will not come here. The crisis that is just beginning in Europe will get worse. Yes, the Greeks will rebel. They'll tear their government to pieces. I mean, literally tear them to pieces, because when you start telling your people, we're going to cut your pensions, no more free tuition, we're going to charge high interest, you're going to have to start paying all this, we're going to have to privatize this, we're going to have to give away these national monuments and these museums and these highways, you're going to have to now pay to go down a road that you used to have to get, we could go on for free. You're going to have to pay because we privatized the bus line, we privatized the train line. So now we're used to have a discounted senior citizen coupon or student coupon to get you on there, a nice drive for low cost or free. Now you got to pay, because we've got to pay back the bankers. And the student's going to say, why should we pay the bankers back to make them whole when they're the ones who caused our problem? Why are you making us do all the suffering? Well, because that's what we're told by the European Central Bank and the International Monetary Fund we must do. It's called structural adjustment. And that's globalization.
Won't that affect our Wall Street numbers, or won't that have a correction on us to our economy with the Wall Street economy?
You would think so, but it won't. Because why? Because no matter how bad it gets, the Eurozone will collapse. The Euro will collapse, for at least in its current manifestation. And the two countries that will hold the Euro together and hold the Eurozone together, even if some of the countries are excluded, like Greece, Spain, Portugal, and Ireland, is because England and Germany and France will hold that together, even though France is struggling and England is virtually bankrupt. And you have about $7 trillion owed by those governments, which is larger than the gross domestic product. What it means is they're all carrying about, with the exception of Germany, they're carrying about anywhere from about 100 to 200% debt to their gross domestic product. But the banks are making out. This is where they make lots of money, because when you're downgraded, your bonds are going to be getting premium interest rates. That means if someone says, they're in trouble, I'll give them my money, but I want a big return and I want guarantees. If they screw up and don't make payments, we want to be able to go in there and we want to privatize, because we can make our money, because our money's costing us nothing, because we're getting it from the Federal Reserve for zero. So we've got unlimited amounts of money. It doesn't matter how much money that we need, we can borrow trillions of dollars of the American taxpayers' money at zero interest and invested in 6% bonds in Greece. And then we'll take derivative positions. So we're going to gamble against this either going up or down, and they'll play both sides. So now what it means is that when the euro goes into crisis, which it will this year, and when there are riots and severe riots, which there will be, people will flee into the dollar. Because the dollar is still going to be safer than the euro. They'll flee into the Chinese currency, the South Korean currency, the Brazilian currency. They'll flee into other currencies that are considered as growth.
And what about gold and silver?
Gold will go up, but gold will go up the most when the world gets hit with, the Americans get hit with a big surprise. I'm going to tell you this right now. The American dollar will no longer keep its position as the reserve currency of the world within, I'm going to guess, 3 years from now. The Chinese, the Russian, the BRICS nations, these at least 9 countries in South America will begin to trade in their own currencies across border. Like Bolivia is now trading with Venezuela. And Brazil is now trading with Venezuela in their own currencies. They're not going through the dollar as the reserve currency, which means then that the dollar, when it's no longer the reserve currency, it will lose anywhere from 10 to 50% of its value. We will then get hit with hyperinflation. At that moment, gold will go to $3,000 an ounce, and you'll see silver closing in on $100 an ounce. You don't buy gold certificates. Do not buy in any. If you're going to buy gold or silver, buy junk silver, meaning pre-1963 dimes, quarters, half dollars, and dollars. Do not buy antiques. They will have no more value. The only value is the actual weight of a metal, not its heritage. It doesn't matter whether it's an antique.
1 ounce bars.
1 ounce bars are fine, but you remember, you use your gold not to use as a currency, use it as a reserve. Mm-hmm. And forget that you own it, because it'll be fluctuating up or down. But I predict that gold will go to $2,000 an ounce before January, and that silver will be at $50 an ounce before January. And then we'll see the collapse of the dollar, hyperinflation coming to America. The Federal Reserve, I predict, will go through a quantitative easing 4. They've already had a 3, but they didn't call it a 3. But Bernie Sanders, the independent from Vermont, found that the Federal Reserve gave $16.1 trillion in interest-free loans to hedge funds, corporations, people associated with the banks, foreign governments, and the American public has to back all this up. So this is what's going to be happening. Right now we have $144 trillion that we're responsible for. That does not include corporate debt. That includes $2.5 trillion in personal debt. It includes $4 trillion in homeowners' debt. In credit card debt, it's about $900 billion. In student loan debt, it's over $1 trillion. But the biggest ones are underfunded liabilities like Medicaid and Medicare, and in the future Social Security, because they've been taking money out of the Social Security Trust Fund. So what you're going to have by 2015, which is only 3 years from now, you're going to have us approaching about $150 trillion in debt. That means we're functionally bankrupt. But you have to identify the top 20,000 people who are the super rich. Then you have about 8 million millionaires. You have 40 million people who are the upper middle class. And you have your professional class of another 10 to 12 million. You have your comfortable working class, which is your true middle class. Altogether, you're dealing with about 70 million Americans who will be just fine. A little uncomfortable for the middle class when hyperinflation comes, because it's going to cost more to buy something and what you buy will be worth less. So you're suffering from both a stagflation, hyperinflation, and elements of deflation, meaning the value of things will go down, the cost to buy them will go up, and there'll be less of that trade.
And so how does that affect your pension plan, if you're counting on your pension?
You will lose money. You will lose money. You're going to lose money. I have already cashed out my 401k, took my penalty, paid my interest, and I've more than made up for what I've lost by putting my money. I believe in having currency, because in the future, those who I believe will be making the right decision would be buying grossly distressed property in the country that you can use to have a future sustainable environment. I believe that future sustainability will be in the country. I believe that the cities on the oceans are going to be finding themselves in very bad situations because of something having nothing to do with the economy this moment. It has everything to do with what people thought would never happen. Do you remember 3 weeks ago we had both a hurricane and an earthquake in the same week?
Right.
Do you remember how people are still bailing out from southern Jersey and they have mold in their houses in Deal?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was in Deal doing a lecture just 2 months ago, and I told people this could happen. I suggest they get generators and put the generators in their garages and have propane tanks, 2,000-gallon tanks. So if something happens, their power continues, get a sump pump. They were on their Twitters and on their cell phones during my lecture. I'll never lecture in that little city again. Now, I did it as a favor to a friend who's a resident there, but I said, never invite me back to this community. They're obsessively selfish, and by God, I don't like the insults of people not even paying attention to what I'm lecturing about. Well, guess whose whole community has just really had a reckoning with the environment?
Mm-hmm.
Deal.
Right.
And all those other communities. Now they've got mold, and now the income, the contractors who exploit them. Oh, it's going to cost $100,000 to clean the mold out of your basement. If you don't get that out, then you got a health effect. Well, that's true, you will. But it's not going to cost $100,000 to do it. But they got the money, evidently, and they'll pay for that. But they will learn no lesson from this. Now imagine what would happen. We didn't even get a Category 1 hurricane hit New York. We had a tropical storm. What if a Category 3 hit the East Coast? Imagine what would happen in New York City, Washington, D.C., and the other cities that are right at sea level. So it's not, will this happen? We got a wake-up call. It's when will it happen and to what degree will we be prepared? So knowing that you're going to be in a situation that's not going to get better, the reasonable person will look at what they can do now to plan for their future. I also predict now, and I'm going on the record, I predict that there are going to be towns and cities in the United States that must completely relocate all citizens because their aquifers will run dry in the next 3 years to 5 years. They'll run out of water. You will not have water for agriculture, industry, and the population. And I know which cities they are, but I'm telling you, you will see towns and cities that simply will no longer be sustainable, even if they've been there for long periods of time, because people never think about where does my water come from. They never think about where's my food come from. They never think about what happens to this plastic bottle I just threw away. So when you think about nothing, then you're going to end up in some problems. And so my suggestion is, what I would do, and this is merely my suggestion, I would buy junk silver, gold, and have dollars. I would unload any asset I have. I would sell my assets. If I got a mortgage, I'd get out of it. And I would look for better, safer, healthier, more sustainable places to live.
How long do you think this downturn will be?
I believe that the downturn, economic downturn for 240 million Americans will last about 10 years. I believe it will take 10 years to change our political system. I believe that Obama will be reelected. I believe that the Democrats are so conditioned to believe that any Democrat is better than any Republican, and they are therefore not asking any other Democrats or progressives. They're terrified of progressives because progressives will get angry. And you see what happens when a Dr. Dean got angry. The Democrats threw him under the bus immediately. Or if you're really uncompromising, like Ralph Nader, then you're marginalized, you're humiliated, you're degraded, and you're blamed. But a man who never compromised on principles, who did more for the environment than any human being, more for our protections than any human being in the history of America, he's not considered worthy. They're going to be such damaged merchandise by the time the election comes that Obama will be reelected, even though much of his base will become so disenfranchised, they'll either no longer support him or stay away from the election. That doesn't, and unless they vote for Ron Paul as a vote of protest, which would be better than anything either Obama them. Not that I agree with Ron Paul, half the things I absolutely disagree with him on, but the things I agree with him on, get rid of the Federal Reserve, reinstate our constitutional rights, reinstate habeas corpus, stop spying on the American public, dismantle the corporate spying and military-industrial spy state, get out of all of our military adventures overseas, stop nation-building, stop these secret assassinations rendition, and close these places down. That I agree upon, and re-encourage and reinvigorate the American small business person that's the largest employer, and that's where the money should go because that's where we'd reinvigorate. So that's what would save us. But will we do it? No, we won't. Not for the next 4 years. So we have to go through a whole cycle of pain, a whole cycle of catastrophes. But once you've gone through this, and once they've gotten cut Social Security and cut Medicare and cut Medicaid, so they can no longer blame these socialist entitlements, so there's no longer that to blame. When you've blamed everything and everyone on your failures, and you see everything getting worse, sicker Americans, drugging of everyone, then you only have two choices left. So listen carefully, because I'm going to tell you something I haven't said up to this point. What I believe will happen to the American public is that in the next administration, whether it's Democrat or Republican, 2 years in, with failure increasing, they will begin a process of militarization in the United States and a move towards a fascist state. Fascism is merely taking corporate America and combining it with government rule. So anything that those in power choose to do, they will have the seal of legal approval. Therefore, you'll have no dissent. You'll have no allowance. If you do anything at all, speak out, march, demonstrate, write, anything at all, you'll be considered a subversive, an enemy of the state, someone that we should fear, and you will be arrested, tortured, and they can do anything they want to you. And only then when we have reached such a low ebb in human evolution, when we become nothing more than a fascist Mussolini in the 1930s, that's what America is going to become, I believe. I hope I'm wrong. Thus far, I have not been on any of my predictions.
What about the strengthening of labor, organized labor in a country within that 10 years? And what do you see America being in 10 years?
Organized labor will lose at least half of the union strength it has because the heads of the unions are, in my opinion, completely compromised. The union members we should be protecting, but they're not able to throw out their own corrupt, enabled, or compromised leadership. You should have already had national strikes. You have not. You should have already had the major unions forming rings around Bank America or the White House. You have not. So what you should do, you will not see done, because these are the people where the deals are made. Their jobs are protected at the top, the rank and file are not. You'll probably end up with about 3% unions within the next 5 years. But only when it gets that bad, when all hope for any Democrat, any principles of democracy in a republic to manifest, when it's all over and you have a police state with the oligarchs and the corporate elite running everything, only then will you see people standing up. And then they'll throw out the people in office, they'll stop buying things, they'll boycott things, and they'll tear up their credit cards, there'll be general strikes, there'll be marches, and they'll be put down. Can I tell you any more contempt I have for the people in this country's inability to lead?
Don't hold back.
Okay? So I hope I've given you my input.
You have. Thank you very much.
All the best to you.
Thank you.
Let's go over and say hello to Martin Feldman. Hi, Marty.
Yeah, hi, Gary. I'm here.
Marty, sorry to bring it in such a long...
Well, it's very interesting, and it's very, very powerful. And as you say, you were recommending the Silver Way way back, and... certainly, people should be watching it.
What? Now you're going to talk about insomnia.
Insomnia.
Marty.
Okay. I see more and more people with insomnia coming into my office. It's a major health problem. I'll give you some ideas, a natural approach, how to prevent it, either whether it's perpetual or just episodic. First off, avoid sleeping pills. Ambien and Lunesta, the two most popular ones. Ambien and Lunesta. I see more and more problems with those. They become addictive. All costs move toward the natural, which I'm going to go through right now. First natural thing would be melatonin. The melatonin is very, very important. It's a sleep-inducing hormone from the pineal gland, and as we age, it tends to decrease. Also, many people just don't make enough. So we want to sometimes give a hormone therapy with melatonin, starting at 500 mcg. 500 mcg is a beginning dose. You go up to 1 milligram, 2 milligram, even up to 3 milligrams. But the less dose you have that you take, the better. Try to keep that dose low. You got to take it a half hour, an hour before you want to go to sleep. Very, very effective. Also, you got to keep your bedroom really, really black. Even though you close your eyes, 1% the body sees light. 99% is occluded by the closing your eyes, but 1% is still perceptual. Even that 1% in the darkness in the bedroom. Next, beyond melatonin, the next step up would be L-tryptophan, 500 milligrams dose, and or separate, either one or the other. You could try both, but separate. 5-hydroxytryptophan, 5-HTP, 50 to 100 milligrams, a much lower dose. And these two guys want to be along with B-complex, and what happens is they help the body to convert to serotonin, which induces relaxation and enhances sleep, which is very, very helpful to get that insomnia fixed. And low serotonin levels in general lead to sleep deprivation and even depression over time. Next would be neurotransmitter GABA. GABA is a neurotransmitter. It's available over the counter. 350 milligrams would be a beginning ballpark dose. Everybody's different on that. You got to go slowly with that one. It has a calming effect. It likes to have with it B6 and B-complex. Next would be valerian root. Valerian root, very, very helpful. Again, over-the-counter. Actually, the medication Valium partially was derived because of valerian root. That's why they call it Valium. Anyway, this is not a drug. It's a muscle relaxer. Has a calming effect. 100, 200 milligrams ballpark would be for that. Next would be L-theanine. L-theanine, very, very helpful, very, very safe. It's an amino acid found in tea leaves and in green tea. It's shown to stimulate alpha wave production and it reduces stress and anxiety in many people. It does not cause drowsiness, but it helps the body to relax, and it stimulates dopamine, GABA, and serotonin in the body. Very, very helpful. Next would be hops, which is a hops flowers. Helps for relaxation, sleep, and also inflammation while it's at 50 milligrams ballpark. Now, the idea, now one other fact would be this. Some people fall asleep and then get up like 2-3 hours after, and that's a common practice, common problem. What I found is some of those people need to have some protein, a modest amount of protein at bedtime, whereby they may have a little hint of hypoglycemia, meaning their glucose level is not really stable. And as they're sleeping, after 2-3 hours, the glucose level may be full enough that it wakes them up. But that protein, a little bit of protein on board at bedtime, will help the glucose level to be more steady and less to wake you up. So this is just some natural approaches. Avoid Ambien, avoid Lunesta. I would say you do one of these at a time. You don't do everything all together. Do one at a time, even experiment with dose one at a time. And if that one is good, then you can stop or you go to the next one, the next. You can go one at a time to each one, and then you worry about combining later.
All good information. Thank you very much. That was Dr. Merton Feldman. He can be reached in his office in New York at 212-744-4413. We're up to the end of our program. I want to thank you all for listening. Let's say hello to Michael Rupert, who's standing by in California. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Gary. How are you?
Good. What are we going to hear tonight on your show?
Well, we're going to do some catch-up. I just had a great event in Portland. We're going to catch up on the news, but we have two great guests tonight, Trathan Heckman, who is president of Transition U.S. and Caroline Staten, who is the executive director. We had them on for a big fundraiser last year. They raised quite a bit of money, and we're going to catch up on what they have going and what kind of progress they're making.
Great. We look forward to listening to you. Stay tuned for the best programs on Progressive Radio Network. Some people are really concerned about the information they've been getting in the mainstream or alternative media and are looking for a better source. We're glad to provide that for you here with Richard Martin and all the other people, Helen Collicott, Jim Hightower, Michio Kaku, Laura Flanders, and, of course, Michael Rupert. Stay tuned for Michael Rupert's program.
I'll tell you.